The reading today is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This is on page 1175 in your Bibles. Page 1175, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true likeness and true righteousness and holiness. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do keep that passage open. Let me read to you verse 24. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I wonder if you've heard the expression, it all starts in the mind. It all starts in the mind. There's a big movement of positive thinking out there, and here's a few examples of their thinking. This one by Mae West, from, goalgettingpodcast.com. Everything's in the mind, that's where it all starts. Knowing what you want is the first step towards getting it. Well, this one from motivational speaker Benny Esconitas. It all starts in the mind. First you think it, then you act it. Do it long enough and you will become it. Or how about this one by bodybuilder from the States, Steve Milanes. You can do anything. So if you're going out to the gym this week, you can do anything. The problem is you keep telling yourself you can't. Being great starts with the mindset of you can. Now, I don't go in for all that positive thinking. It might be that you start the day thinking really positively and you're making a great start today, but then you run over your cat on the way out. That would be a tragedy. But positive thinking doesn't automatically sort everything out. But what these people have understood is that there is a very strong link between our thoughts and our actions. Thoughts lead to actions. And the whole cognitive behavioral therapy movement, which is so helpful in mental health, shows us that when negative thinking goes into our mind, it can fall out, spiral out into negative actions. So is the key simply to move from negative thinking to positive thinking? Well, sadly, it's not as simple as that. That doesn't get to the heart of things. It doesn't get to the bottom of things. Now, in this passage, Paul agrees that it does all start in the mind. This section, as we can see, is full of teaching about the mind, both negative in the first paragraph and positive in the second. But Paul says the key is not positive thinking, but instead Christian thinking, thoughts about Christ. And that's what we're going to see as we look through this part of Ephesians today, as we carry on in this, as we restart this series in Ephesians. So let's look at Ephesians 4, 17 to 24 in these two paragraphs and these two halves, the old self and the thinking and actions of the old self, and the new self and the thinking and the actions of the new self. And Paul agrees it does all start in the mind. Have a look at verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, we need Sydney's dictionary for the Gentiles. Gentile just means someone who isn't a Jew. And in Jewish thinking, the whole world was separated into the Jewish family, people descended from Abraham, and non-Jews or Gentiles. But Gentile could also, certainly that's the kind of background that most of this church in Ephesians were from. If you look at 2 verse 11, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles. But Gentiles could also be a kind of way of saying, we might say, oh, that person lives a very pagan lifestyle. In other words, kind of an ungodly lifestyle, an immoral lifestyle. And Paul is saying that now that these people from Ephesus have turned to Jesus, they're no longer to live a pagan or a Gentile, an old way of thinking. The Jewish lifestyle was typically moral and upright, although as we know from the Bible, you can be moral and upright but still far from God. But the Gentile lifestyle was often more outwardly immoral and permissive. And you see what Paul's saying? He's saying, I tell you this. In fact, he doesn't just tell us, but he insists. He lays it on really thick. He says, we've really got to listen to this with the authority that Jesus gives him as an apostle. I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And then he spells out some of the Gentile thinking. So let's look at three examples of Gentile thinking in this passage and then how it leads to Gentile actions, non-Jewish or pagan or immoral thinking. First of all, there's an emptiness about Gentile thinking. Look at verse 17. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Futility, a bit like meaninglessness. If you know the book of Ecclesiastes, it's the same word. Everything's meaningless. Everything's empty. It's not to say that we can't learn from non-Christian thinkers and scientists and strategists, but there's no depth because there's no understanding about Jesus. There's no ultimate understanding about the meaning of the universe, and God is bringing all things together under Jesus. That's where the universe is going. So there's an emptiness about non-Christian thinking, a shallowness and an emptiness. There's a darkness as well. Look at verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding. That's to say there's an inability there to process spiritual truth, a kind of blindness, a spiritual and moral blackout that comes in unbelieving thinking. Jesus said that we're like those little insects under a brick. You take the brick away and it scuttles away to the darkness. Jesus said that men and women prefer darkness to light. So we fill our thinking and our brains naturally, before we know Jesus, with all sorts of empty and dark thinking. As one writer put it, when people don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. There's an emptiness, a darkness, and an ignorance about pagan or Gentile unbelieving thinking. Verse 18 again, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Those who don't know Jesus lack the most wonderful foundation to their life. They lack this mindset that Jesus Christ is the king of this universe. And so there's a natural bias away from the truth. And that's because we can add to our diagram a heart there, because look at verse 18, they're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You know how over the last few years, the warning on cigarette packets have got stronger and stronger. But if you're an addicted smoker, you can't see those warnings, no matter how gross or strong they get. There's an addiction, which means that you just can't see that. There's a blindness and an emptiness and an ignorance. And it's the same with us when it comes to the addiction of sin. Without Jesus in our thinking is going to be empty, dark, and ignorant. And it's therefore going to lead, well, tragically, in verse 18, it says that it leads us to be separated from the life of God. we don't know Jesus, we're going to be separated from the life of God in this life and in the life to come. But the thinking leads to the actions, and we see that in the rest of the paragraph. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. So Gentile thinking leads to Gentile actions. And again, three things there. Sensuality, which is uncontrolled behavior following pleasure rather than God. Impurity, which is as if the brakes have come off their morality so that anything goes. And greed, what they have is never enough. It's always more, more, more. Now, these are really strong terms, aren't they? And Paul is using really pretty strong and shocking language about the unbelieving mindset and the unbelieving actions. Now, does this mean that everyone who's not a Christian lives a terrible life? No, it doesn't. This doesn't mean that necessarily your non-Christian workmates or neighbours are as bad as they possibly could be. There are many law-abiding citizens with an outward morality that sometimes puts Christians to shame. But Paul is saying that thinking without Jesus leads in this direction. This is where the thinking and this is where the actions are heading. And unless God intervenes to change things and to change the heart, this is where it's going to go. And so if anyone here this morning is not a Christian, and we welcome people to our church who are still thinking through the Christian faith, and it's great to have you here. Please don't be overly offended by this, because this is what all of our hearts are naturally like without Jesus. And actually, Paul isn't here pointing the finger at unbelievers. He's not pointing to everyone outside of the church. He's saying that Christians need to not live this old lifestyle. He says that the people in Ephesus, the Christian believers, need to turn from paragraph 1 and turn to paragraph 2. I've used this analogy before, but we all know the difference between a stone and a dove. You throw a stone in the air, comes straight back down again. Throw a dove in the air, and it flies. And unless Jesus transforms our heart by the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to fly. And that's why the first thing that someone who's not yet a Christian needs to do is not redouble their efforts and try and become more moral. It's to come to Jesus and to know the freedom and the forgiveness that is in him. Well, let's move from paragraph 1 into paragraph 2, into the second paragraph, and into the new self. We've seen Gentile thinking. Let's look now at Christian thinking. And notice again how much the mind has a place in all of this. Verse 20 and 21. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Some translations translate it like this. You did not come to learn Christ this way. It's a funny expression, to learn Christ. We talk about getting to know a person rather than learning a person. Actually, the word there is like the same word as a disciple, a learner. And actually, a Christian is someone who's come to learn Jesus. People have got alongside us. They've shown us the Bible. They've taught us the good news about Jesus. They've taught us that Jesus is the most wonderful King and the most wonderful Savior. And that we need to turn from our old life to him. That process is called discipleship. It's a teaching process that helps us to work out our following of Jesus in every area of our life. And these verses show us how closely this section is related to the part before, which was about how the word gifts are given to the church so that the people can be built up in the truth. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that we all grow into unity and maturity in Christ. So do you see how important this process of learning Jesus is? Coming to know him for ourselves, putting our trust in him, and then working that out in our lives. Our lives are never going to change until our heart changes. Do you all see that? Just check you're all appreciating my PowerPoints. We need our hearts to be changed. And once our hearts are changed, then the Christian thinking starts impacting Christian living. A few years ago, before I was married, I was working in a small and not very well-off church in South London. And one of the parishioners of the church, lovely old lady, knitted me a jumper. And I can tell you, so much love went into this jumper. Not a lot of fashion, not a lot of style, but a lot of love. Now, this jumper was made of brown and green wool. And it had little bits of pink, sort of pink flecks in there as well. And you couldn't really tell whether the jumper was inside out or outside in. You just kind of turn it over again, and some of the patterns seemed the wrong way around, but then turn it over again. But as I said, a lot of love went into this jumper. So I enjoyed wearing this to my family's horror. And it became rather old and rather moth-eaten. And then, wonderfully, I met Emma. And I started a relationship with Emma. And I had a new fashion advisor. And I needed it, believe you me. And she would say, do you need to wear that jumper? Or how about this new jumper? She'd get me new clothes. And it was fantastic. Because of the new relationship, there was a new wardrobe. And actually, that's what Paul is saying here. Have a look at verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's an old jumper to take off. Christian thinking leads to Christian actions. So Paul says, take off the old jumper and put on the new jumper, just like Linda was sharing with us earlier. There's an old to put off, and there's a new to put on. Do you see how different this way of doing ethics, how we live, is from most of all of the other ways in which we're told to live a good life? Maybe at school you can think back to how the teachers told you have to be a good person because you need to be a good example to the community. Or we watched the Blues Brothers last weekend, where these nuns brought up these two Blues Brothers to turn them from a life of crime by telling them the Ten Commandments. And sadly, they didn't turn from a life of crime. And so this nun would like hit them with a stick until they did. And it's rather tragic. And these poor Blues Brothers, they're back there with this nun many years later, trying to help her to kind of reclaim this building from the taxation disaster. And she's hitting them with a stick. And every time she's hitting them, they're swearing some more. So she hits them again. But Paul says, no, the way to live a good life isn't a stick. It's a new wardrobe. He's saying, be who you are. Take off the old clothing and put on the new clothing, because you've been made a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. So it's not that sin is impossible for a Christian, but it's out of place, it's incongruous, it's inappropriate. We had a guy in a previous church that I worked in who'd been watching hardcore pornography since he was 15. And then he came to Christ as a 20-year-old, and though things got better, he still struggled. And he hated what he was doing, and he kept trying to turn from it, but it was so hard. And the old thinking and the old temptations, the old actions came back. But wonderfully, he decided to get help from the church. And with the help of his church, he was able to, as it were, rewire his thinking. Take off the old self. It doesn't belong. It's not appropriate anymore. And live the new self. And it was a struggle, and I'm sure it still is. But he's been free from pornography for many years now. Paul is saying, you've got new thinking. You've come to learn Jesus. You've been taught. You've been told about Jesus Christ. You've been told about what a wonderful king he is. You've been told about his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He's breathed his Holy Spirit into you and given you a new life. Be who you are. Don't be different because God's going to whack you with a stick. No, be different because you want to be like Jesus now. You're a new creation. And so the old must go, and the new has come. And so Paul talks in the final verse there about some of the Christian actions that flow from Christian thinking. And he says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, that's doing what's right and living with God's help for him. Holy lives, that's not holier than thou. That's a life that's beautiful like Jesus, full of integrity, reliability, uprightness, trustworthiness and kindness. And it's lives of true righteousness and holiness, because Jesus always spoke what was true. He was the way, the truth and the life. So speaking the truth, even when it hurts, not bending the truth to make us look better, but speaking honestly to everyone around us. So do you see the way to godly living is to be who we are? Let's apply this to three people. I'm going to introduce you to three totally made up people. Let's introduce you to Fiona. Fiona's a young mum, and she's always grown up in a Christian home. So she can't remember any of the kind of, she can't remember not being a follower of Jesus. She's always been a follower of Jesus, even as she grew up as a young child. But it's still possible for some of the old thinking in terms of, there's the jumper again, the old way of life, the non-Christian life, to infect her thinking. And maybe it's due to a string of worthless boyfriends or perhaps a very busy dad. But most of the time she feels undervalued. She feels like she doesn't have any value. Maybe that's partly because a lot of the time she's being thrown up on by small children. But old thoughts of worthlessness can creep in. But she has to remind herself of how she's learned Christ. She's learned from the Bible that Jesus is love is so wide and high and deep and long, Christ's love for her. And so she puts off the old thinking and puts on the new and remembers that she's valued in Christ and that he died for her. And as she rewires her thinking with the gospel, she puts off the old and on the new. Here's Gary, and he's only recently, as a teenager, put his trust in Jesus through a youth work in his town. But all of his mates are still not Christian. And they still expect him to hang out with him over the summer holidays and get drunk and get high. And his old thinking, that the jumper is a particularly big one for him, pretty uncomfortable, his old thinking tells him that he still wants to fit in with his old mates. But now he's learnt Christ. He's come to know Jesus. He's come to know how he's valued in Jesus, that he doesn't need to just fit in with what his mates do, but he belongs to Jesus. And so he puts on the new clothing, still a bit awkward in how it fits him, but he's learning to put on his new clothing. He still hangs out with his old mates because he loves them, and they're still his friends, and he wants them to know Jesus as well. But when they pass around a can or a joint, he doesn't have a big go at them, but he just says no. And with God's help, he's beginning to change, and they're beginning to know the difference. This is Beryl. She became a Christian in 1752. and she wasn't well taught Christ. She wasn't taught from the start that Jesus is Lord as well as Savior. And so she, for many years, thought that gossip and unkindness was still okay. And sometimes she's still playing catch up, and that old jumper still hangs around. But now she's on fire for the Lord. She's come to know Jesus more. She's coming to understand how wonderful he is. And sometimes the old thinking is still there, and she wants to hit back against her neighbors with an unkind word. But she's learned a Bible song that she keeps singing to herself. I'm a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. And the more she thinks about God's amazing grace, the more it rewires her thinking. And she thinks, I don't need to be like that anymore. I'm a new person. And so she's changing. And it's a beautiful thing. And her friends and her neighbors are beginning to notice, as are all of the others. Paul says, I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. Living a godly life is not an optional extra for a Christian. It's absolutely integral to who we are as believers. We're to take off the old and we're to put on the new. Keep coming back to Jesus and to Christian thinking that leads to Christian actions. Let's finish our sermon by reading out verse 20 to 24 as all together as a church, by way of encouragement, as a commitment to living Christian thinking and Christian living in our lives this week. So, page 1175, Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24. Let's say together, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness."